Welcome to the Restoration Church podcast, Behind the Sermon, where we get to sit in on a conversation between our pastors and hear about what they're learning, what they're teaching, and what God is doing throughout our church. Enjoy the podcast.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Behind the Sermon podcast. My name is Stephen Johnson, and I'm here with Pastor Nate. Hello, hey, Pastor Nate.
Hey, Pastor Stephen. Hello, podcast audience.
There you go. How was Easter for you?
Oh, it was a great time. I should probably confess to the church there may be some videos coming out released that I don't know how people will respond to it. We did an Easter egg hunt yesterday at my wife's family's with my wife, her whole family.
Yeah.
And so something they saw online is they taped eggs to the dads. And so then the dads were to like have to run around. So the kids couldn't get eggs. So I just didn't feel like running. So I just went and like got a switch from the woods, like a long thin stick. And so my nephew and my kids were attacking me and I was whipping them in the legs and the behind with those sticks. And
I'm excited to watch the video.
Someone said they probably won't post them online, but just in case video comes out about me abusing my children, it was just an Easter egg hunt. It was
fun. Let's put it that way.
I kept pointing at eggs. I'm like, you don't have to get these eggs. Look, we're walking by. There's eggs on the ground right here. But they were having fun. They were up for the challenge.
There you go. That's the way. That's the way to make a fun family Easter.
Yeah, they also got back at me a few times. I got hit in the back of the leg with like a log.
Oh, holy moly.
Anyway, I probably shouldn't be talking about this on the podcast. But well, it was a fun day hanging out with in-laws and cousins and my kids. It was a good day. Obviously, great services.
Yeah.
The Dover service went great. Bethlehem. I had one of my friends that lives in Virginia. Some of his family comes to Bethlehem location. He had some families that don't come to Bethlehem location come for Easter. So he sent me a text thanking our church for ministering to his family on Easter Sunday. That was fun.
That's huge, yeah.
Yeah, lots of things to talk through. I don't know, you want to talk through anything, through things that happened in your services in Bethlehem?
Yeah, you mentioned a couple of things. Yeah, a couple of things running through my mind. You mentioned it was our 1 year anniversary. Like last year, Easter Sunday, we launched it. And yeah, so I was super pumped to see just, you know, like how God is so good to us. Just being, he's so faithful, just thinking through it, 1 year anniversary. So that was fresh yesterday. I was like, wow, it is fresh.
How did the room respond at that?
They were happy. They were clapping. Even, you know, just some of them were like, thank you, Jesus. You know, that this location where, and even after services, it was kind of like in their faces, hey, I'm so glad this location is here. We're so glad this, you know, you and your family moved and, you know, started this. I'm so glad, you know, I found this church, Restoration Church. So it was kind of like, oh, wow. The responses of people were kind of like, for me, it was kind of like fresh still. Like, wow. Just how neat God works everything together, you know. So kudos to you, Pastor Nate, just listening from God and just willing. I know there needs to be a willingness to just go for this adventure. It is a risky adventure when you think through it, you know, but it's so worth it. It's so worth it. Like just out of nowhere, getting this building, renovating it, and just opening. Yeah. Just opening, you know.
It so is, you that, never know what will happen.
Say that again?
You never know what will happen.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a lot of money that the other locations are investing in order to open a new location. And
yeah, just thinking through that. Then we had 67 people here yesterday. Awesome. So that was another testimony. And one person is coming back that I connected with. She was super excited. Her words were like, yesterday was so much personal for me. I reconnected my faith with God. And I want to thank this church and thank you for let that happen in my life today. And I'm planning on coming back and spending my time with Jesus. So that was another testimony. Yeah. So it was fun. It was just a fun weekend to celebrate Jesus and celebrate what he has done personally in my life in this location.
I had an old acquaintance. They're more of a friend now than they were in middle school and high school, but knew each other in middle school and high school. And I invited her and her family to Easter 2 years ago. I don't remember what year are we in. 2022. Her family came to Easter service, which was awesome. And but never been back. And honestly, I was shocked that they walked in yesterday. So last year I invited them again. And they weren't able to come because they were traveling. And I didn't even, honestly, I didn't even think to invite them this year. But they came again this year. And so that was exciting. And you just, right, because you just never know. Maybe this is a service that changes their lives forever. I know they loved it when they came 2 years ago, but I don't think they have any church background. So it was like, that was so good. We were crying the whole time. Wow. That was awesome. And then just.
Yeah, that's incredible. That's incredible. The story that I was telling, somebody is coming back. It was kind of like a fun story because Nancy, who's coming here, who's attending our church here in Bethlehem, so she was having a hard time in Walmart parking lot walking. It was during the snowstorm 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And this lady saw her stumbling in the snowstorm. So she came to her and said, "Hey, do you need help? Why don't we both walk together to your car?" And Nancy was like, just sharing about Jesus and, you know, and stuff like that. And she was like, "Do you go to church?" And the other person said, "No." And Nancy had an Easter invite card in her with her. And she's like, "I would love for you to come to church with me on Easter." And that was it. And she came to church and that testimony was like, "I found the church that I've been praying for." And I'm like, what? Like, wow. What a coincidence, but it was just like God orchestrated that for her, you know, just well helping done, somebody. Nancy. I know. It was fun just to listen to stories like that, you know, just bringing somebody, power of invitation, right? You talk about it, power of invitation. You never know, you know, you might be just throwing out there, but you never know how it's going to impact the other person. And I was so happy to hear this testimony. Like, wow, God is so good.
Yeah. One of the cool stories from yesterday at the Dover location was we had a bunch of teenagers praying that their parents would come to church. And I think it was 7 parents came to church yesterday. Some had been before, but none attend regularly. And some were very first time visitors. I know 4 at least their parents came for the first time on Easter yesterday, We had a teenager give her life to Jesus yesterday. She signed up to be water baptized yesterday. She was also one of the ones who their mom came. They was there for Sunday, those teenagers. They've been coming to youth group, but they'd never been on a Sunday. So they came, they brought family, they gave their life to Christ, signed up to water baptized. I mean, that was the most, probably the most exciting thing to me. You just think about that idea that teenagers are reaching their parents. Yeah. Right? Teenagers are coming to church on Sunday and inviting their parents to come. And I don't know, there's just something about that that really, really moves me.
It is special, right? Because when we think about it, like growing up or like even now in this culture, it's we don't see that often. It's a reverse, like parents ragging their kids or like, right. You know, so it is kind of like, you know, everyone says the next generation is like, oh, whatever. But there is a generation that is raising up to like reach. They don't care. Like they don't care. They're not scared. They're not afraid. They're bold. They're a bold generation who speaks truth, who wants to reach just one more, whether it's family or friends. I always think about your kids, like they're bold. They just go out there. They don't care. They don't care. They're just like, all right, whether you like it or not, we are going to talk about Jesus. And I love that. I love that about the next generation. They're just bold enough to proclaim everything and even like being an example in their family.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Really exciting. I'm trying to think if I had another story. There's a lot of guests, a lot of people who hadn't been there before, which is really cool. I don't know. There was another story I was trying to think of, but it's evaded my mind. But overall, our four locations, it was the first service we ever had more than 800 people in a service. 819 people. Yep. Came to Restoration Church yesterday, which is mind-blowing.
Wow.
That is mind-blowing. That is mind-blowing.
It is.
And just obviously so many testimonies and stories through that. Love being part of a move of God.
We have a couple of baptisms sign up through that as well. I saw a couple of baptism signups just happening soon next month. That's awesome. Pastor Nate, talk us through your sermon. Just kind of like your thought process behind it, your prep. How did it go? Are you always, because you're always cautious, right? When you preach in these moments of Easter or Christmas, because there's always new guests coming in. There's always unbelievers that's going to attend. Do you write your sermon differently because it's like it's that big Sundays, or you're like, no, I'm just going to be like, do the same normal you, or do you think differently? Do you write sermon differently for these moments?
I'm definitely very focused on those in the room who've never been to church before. Mm. So how do I take something that seems fake, that seems made up, that seems mythological, that seems corny? How do I take that and actually present Jesus? So that's always just part of my thought process. And one thing that I did during the sermon is I realized I'd gotten into a bad habit the last couple of years of kind of always starting with the same tension. So I try to break off of that. And then I knew I wanted my focus to be he's alive. We had planned that however many months ago when we're planning for this Easter. So he's alive. I want to focus on he's alive, that excitement that he's alive. And so that was the direction we went. So it was just, yeah, that was where we were moving forward. I love these moments where we get to, well, I know there's so many people in the room who don't know Jesus. I love those moments to be able to be the person to introduce Jesus to them. Yeah, I love it. Now it's hard awesome. Because, you know, my friend who only went to church 2 years ago, I don't want her to come back and be like, oh, it's the same exact thing. I'm never coming back again. Or people who've gone to church their whole life, you don't want them to tune out as well. And I got a huge compliment here. Right before we started recording, I got a phone call from one of the top men of God in our church. And he said, I don't want to exaggerate. That was the greatest Easter sermon I've heard, which is pretty good from a guy who's been a Christian for, he's probably heard 40 of these, maybe more, 45.
Yeah.
Easter sermons in his life. And to say, hey, that was the greatest that I've heard. And it connected with me. And so you've got someone who's been following God for 4 decades who says, man, that connected with me. It moved me forward. Like, that's what a great honor. And glad it connected, right? You're just always glad. And thank you for using my feeble attempts to communicate your mysterious word.
Yeah. Yeah, that's powerful. You always, when people ask you this, or like, I know you do sometimes to us, like when people say this, you ask, what connected with you?
Like, he did it where he's like, that was the great, I'm like, what made it the greatest message? He was like, whoa, I don't.
Yeah.
You know, I think you just end up hearing Easter messages and they're all the same. They're just all the same. They can be the same, right? It's just,
yeah.
It's the most difficult problem of Easter and Christmas. And I would say Pentecost Sunday as well, that it just always sounds the same. And That is a challenge.
Yeah, because, yeah, I get it. One of the things I loved what you talked in your sermon was this phrase, we can be with Jesus, but never recognize him. I thought that was like powerful, you know, and talk to us more about that. Like, how can one be with Jesus and never recognize him? Like, you talked about Cleopas. I hope I pronounced that right.
I hope I did too. I said it like 15 times yesterday. I think there's two things going on. I think one, it's like sometimes maybe you see that it's Jesus, but you don't want to follow Jesus. So it's like seeing someone in the grocery store. You just like, oh, someone I know is down the aisle. I'm going to go down the other aisle and hope they didn't see me. Now, maybe I'm the only person who does that, but but that does happen. Yep. And so I think sometimes people do that, like, they don't want to follow God. And so when God does a miracle in their life, they're like, it was coincidence, right? Because they just don't want to follow God yet. I mean, sometimes, right, we're just ignorant. So we just don't know who's been doing it or who we're with. So, you know, I think about a number of years ago when we had UFC legend Ken Shamrock come to the Dover location, and then we were just eating at Chili's in Dover or Applebee's in Dover. And the waitress has no idea really that he's so well known.
Yeah.
And I just think sometimes we just don't know because we've never heard of Jesus and we've never been around him. We don't get that it was him. And so trying to make those connections, because I've just met so many people who've had that experience in their life. Like my friend 2 years ago at Easter, we cried through the whole time. That was amazing. Mm. And not just recognizing, oh no, that was Jesus himself calling you after him. Oh.
Can it be also this way when like we're doing life, like we're doing this Christian life for 50, 25, 30 years, and then all of a sudden it becomes like a thing and we don't recognize him? Can that happen? Can we fall into that as well? Or can just it be like unbelievers or...
I think we can do that, right?
I think so too.
Jesus is talking to us, but we're like, oh, that was my own thought. Going back to that person over there to church, oh, that was my own thought. Go ask that person if you can pray for them. Oh, that was my own thought. Give a half million dollars. I could never do that. That's my own thought. And so he's speaking to us, but we're like dismissing it as our own imaginations.
Yeah, well, like, so when those thoughts come in, like, how do we overcome it? Just recognizing it is like, no, you cannot. You cannot recognize it because that's why you're avoiding it.
Well, Rod Loy has a book titled Immediate Obedience. Mm-hmm. And it's just, if it's not a bad thing, it's probably a God thing. So do it. And if you missed it, at least you blessed someone. And so just start practicing immediate obedience. So if you get the thought, I should call that person, call them, text them, pray for them, invite them. Like when you have the thought, just do it because it probably is God.
Well, yeah. A lot of testimonies with that too, but yeah. Do you think sometimes when we get wrong, it is because of our own thoughts or imaginations, or is it just we didn't hear right? Like in the sense, hey, go pray for this person for healing, and then we prayed, nothing happened.
God doesn't tell us to do the miracle. He just tells us to pray. So,
correct.
That's right. I think that's a big key of it. Our obedience doesn't mean that God's going to do it. So, right. I mean, I've got all kinds of things in that way. And maybe I've talked about this before, but in 2017, I felt convinced that God told me that there was going to be a church that was going to merge with us and become one of our locations. And I had never talked with the pastor before, but I knew who he was. He knew who I was.
Yeah.
I don't want to give too much information, but that never happened. It doesn't mean it won't still happen, but it never happened. And I remember being like, I was so certain
that this
was what God spoke to me. And it didn't happen. I don't know what to do. And I've had other instances like that before where I was very confident that it was what God wanted, but it didn't happen. So I don't know how to make sense of any of that other than, God, I repent if it was my own ideas that I convinced myself were your ideas, or my own ambition that I convinced myself was your ambition. I want to be able to listen to you. So do you make sure that you're guiding me and directing me? And if I'm going the wrong way, please don't let me walk through doors that aren't of you.
Yeah, that's so good. Yeah. I love that. I love that you explained it that way. Same, a lot of testimonies that way. I texted a pastor in Florida thinking way before when I was in college, thinking that was our biggest move. I'm like, oh, all right, sweet, nothing happened. All right, shut up, Steve. All right. You know, but it was like a learning curve for me too. Just, hey, that's not the way to clearly listen, you know. So that was good. And you also talked on your sermon, very nice, very, never, not recently, I want to say, not recently I heard that people talking through the other religion, like you brought Islam, you brought, you know, Hinduism and Buddhism and Mormons and all that. But I like how you explained it so like simple, but like, all right, this is why we believe. Because like when people ask, why do you believe? Everyone's like, we believe. Or like, yeah, why do you go to church? How do you know this is real? You know, this is real because my parents believed it or like whatever. But I think like, you know, when you share Christianity, isn't like other religions where only one person got the revelation. Right. That is so true. Like just thinking through it, there were people, multiple witnesses. I think through that as well when people ask about it even now, like how do you believe it? I asked them, hey, if you die today and your grandkids, right? Your grandkids years later, 20 years later are asking or recognizing who you are, how do they believe that you were alive? Because of the eyewitnesses that were there talking to your grandkids about it. So the same way Jesus had multiple eyewitnesses where people talked about it. So I like the way you shared that.
I didn't mention Hinduism though, because I didn't know too much about it, but I tried, you know, who started Hinduism, and what I found, no one started it. It's just maybe it's 10,000 years old. Maybe it's 4,000 years old. It was kind of a bit of a discrepancy on that, but it's just no beginning date, no founder. And that was interesting. So I definitely couldn't use that.
Yeah, you use Mormon, Buddhism, Jehovah's Witness.
Yeah, and Islam.
Islam, yeah.
I could have done Scientology as well, I suppose. I didn't think about that till now.
Yeah, that's another thing.
But it is a big thing. Like, so many people saw the empty tomb. And when I was studying about it, one of the things that changed, that affected me, right? I don't know how many years ago, 20 years ago, a little bit longer than that, when I heard someone talk about the disciples, if they were making it up, they wouldn't have gone to death for it. They would have recanted. And that was like such a big eye-opening moment for me as a young man. And so I definitely wanted to include that. I include that every once in a while. But I was researching, like, how could we be sure of the resurrection? And there was some other information that I didn't include in the message because I didn't think it supported it as strong. But one of them being that the first eyewitnesses to the empty tomb were women, and that the Bible included that is another sign that it's true, because the eyewitness account of women wasn't valid. So if a crime happened and a woman said, I saw it, they'd dismiss it. But the Bible kept it. So even mm-hmm. though culture at the time said that's not credible that a woman saw it, the Bible didn't care because that's how it happened.
Oh, wow.
It listed it as it happened. But that was another thing that didn't really work in there. But was it Mary Magdalene, then Mary Mother of Jesus and the other ladies? So it was two different groups of women who were the witnesses first. And they were the first to preach the gospel, which some use as evidence that women can be pastors. They were the first to preach the gospel to the world. He is risen. He is risen. They preached it to men.
That's right. Wow. That's an interesting thought. Never connected that, like, women, when you read the Bible, like, the women is underrated, like, you cannot do this, you cannot do that, you cannot do that. But that connection that you said, they never accounted their values, right?
Yeah, that was Jewish law, Roman law.
Wow. That's interesting. Writing this sermon, what really was your like, wow, this is gonna hit? Or like, was there anything that while you were preparing this, that you thought, this is, I want this to hit home? All good stuff, but
I think that ugly graph that I had showing all of his appearances, I've never had anybody lay it out like that for me before in all my years of Christianity. It was hard to find. That's why I could have made my own, but they're all ugly because really I don't think enough people talk about that. So that's the best one I could find. The others were even uglier than that. But all of those different appearances at all these different times, the different interactions he had with people. Yeah. I think that was good. Let me open up my notes to see if I'm just forgetting something. I do still have a little bit of an Easter fog.
Blame it to the log.
Well, definitely that whole part of the what we were just talking about, the witnesses, the other religions, the graph, the gospels, who wrote them, why they wrote them, the different places. It's weird. Like, I feel like looking at my notes, I should have preached even longer.
Well, I missed the part. I'm just reading through. I missed this part. You talked about Dr. James. Did you talk about Dr. James?
No, I cut it out because I ran out of time. Right. But there's a poem or a writing. Let me grab my... I don't have it. Maybe I left it in my truck. But One Solitary Life. I didn't use it. It was to be in my notes. That's why if you watch the video of this sermon, I had a book on with me because I was going to read out of that book.
But that's not good.
I ran out of time, so I didn't use it. So I won't read it now, I guess, because I don't have the book. I could look it up, but we'll save it for a future Easter.
There you go. You mentioned before this podcast, when you were worshiping, you changed some stuff. Right? While the worship was going on, what part do you know? Like what was the thought process? What led you to change those stuff?
Well, so the notes that you see that I sent over for you to the message, I mean, this might just bore everybody, but it wasn't broken down to how do you move from being a skeptic or an atheist, or an agnostic, or familiar with Jesus to being a follower with him. That's not in these notes that you saw. So I wrote that by hand. And then, was it 5 or 6 points? Witness it, listen to it, recognize it, receive it, share it. I wrote those in with hand scratch to the places they needed to be. And yeah, so then once I got up to preach, I was a little bit, trying to follow my handwritten notes that I wrote quickly during worship, because I knew, I don't know, it just helped break it up better.
Yeah.
And gave it a better focus and point than my printed notes had. So it worked out. And that's why during the message, I said, hey, I'm going to read some scriptures that I didn't give to you.
Yeah.
Because I was originally not going to read, I don't know what verses it was because of time, verses 19 through 24, maybe. I don't remember where it ended, but that's what was going on behind the scenes with all of that.
Like it, like you're viewing it that way. I'm viewing it differently. I like how much importance that you're giving, even though while you're worshiping, you're listening to God, you're trying to listen and rewrite. I think it is so important. Like maybe who is listening? I don't know who's listening, but even that, I'm taking it. Like, hey, just because you have your set notes or set thing that you already prepared doesn't mean God still can work through it. You know, maybe it may be one verse or one word, whatever that may be. Try to listen even though you're in the worship service, lifting your hands and worshiping, but God can still maybe talk to you just to change, as you mentioned. And I think it was neatly done.
Yeah, we, you know, it's like anything else. You do your best, but I don't know. Writing the outline for a message, I feel like, does not come easy for me. So sometimes my sermon's done, but it does not make sense yet until worship starts. And then I handwrite a couple of things, like all of a sudden it finally clicks. It used to be like, Michelle's like, how was your day? It'd be like a Wednesday. She'd be like, how was your day? I'm like, man, so good. My whole sermon's done. It makes sense. It just came and I just wrote it down. It all clicked. I feel like that happens twice a year.
Oh my gosh.
So I'm usually, like you guys ask, how's your sermon coming? And I usually give a percentage. I'm like, well, that's about 80%.
Yeah.
And I don't remember who asked me, was it you or Jeremy on Thursday? How's your sermon? It's about 80%. Like everything's there, but it's just not done yet. And so by the time I went to bed Saturday night, it was like maybe 90%, but I couldn't get it to 100%. There was no way. Mm-hmm. Because I can't force it. I'm going to end up like just trying to be clever, and I don't want to be clever.
Yeah.
So I came in Sunday morning, looked at it again before I printed it and just was like, I don't know. I'm not sure. And then finally at worship, I'm like, oh, I think that's how I need to organize it. And so I wrote it down. Yeah.
Wow. But anyway,
I feel like that's a little boring for our podcasters. How long have we been talking? We're probably done.
Yeah, I think so. We've been going for a long time now.
People didn't sign up to hear about how to write a sermon. They wanted to talk about the sermon. Listen, appreciate you guys for listening, and what a happy Easter. And what an exciting, can't even believe everything God's doing. Another eight people signed up for the water baptisms on April 14th so far. If you haven't signed up, sign up. If you were at church on Sunday for the first time at Restoration Church and you're on the podcast this week, thanks for listening to the podcast. We want you to be a part of our church, not just to showing up, but to figure out God's call in your life.
Yeah.
Figure out Jesus. Maybe you're still investigating him, and to discover that life serving him and following him. And Yeah. Excited. We start a new series on the book of Joel for the next month. And book, actually, not the book of Joel, chapter 2 of the book of Joel. And going through that series for a month. And
it'll be fun.
Yeah. What exciting time.
Yeah. And there's a team leaving to Africa in 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Yep.
15 yeah. days. 16 days, depending on.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever time this gets dropped. So,
yes. Thank you for listening.
You.
Yeah.
The book I said, Immediate Obedience by Rod Lloyd, that's probably a good book to use. And then that book I had on my desk is an apologetics book, which is Defending Your Faith, which is God's Not Dead by Rice Brooks. And that could be a resource for someone as well. All right. Have a great day, guys.